This week's parsha was Chanan, and we are still before Tisha B'Av, and my son told me that the vart on Mishenechnas, my brother Moshe told me that the vart Mishenechnas of Memate V'Simcha is not like we think it is. Means that when Mishenechnas off, when the father comes in, Mematim b'simcha. When the father comes in, Shenech Lazov, as soon as the father walks in, oh, the kid's simcha is gone. So I told him I'm going to mention it on the tapes. So,
thank goodness
your son
didn't tell
you. Yeah. So, Veschanon, everybody knows, Veschanon is basically is continuing the Teichocha that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him. And that's one interpretation. That Moshe Rabbeinu was upset at the Jewish people that they never prayed for him, even after you see me almost coming, even after this, you still are, you know I'm going to die, and you know that you should pray for me, and you still don't pray for me. That's one interpretation. And the other interpretation is Moshe Rabbeinu wants to teach us an example that even in the last moment, after I divided the land of Sichon V'Oig, after it's already I'm close to death, a person should always know that even Cherev Chat al Tzavoroi, even if you have a sharp knife on your neck, Alimna Asma Min Arachma, a person should not give himself up from having pity from Hashem. Always pray to Hashem. And we learned that from Tzidkiyahu, the story of Tzidkiyahu, and Elisha came to him and says, you know, you will die and you won't live. So Talmud brings down, you'll die in this world and you won't live in the world to come. Hashem said that you're going to die, you won't live. So he asked, why? So he says, because you didn't do pruvu, you didn't have children. So Tzidkiyahu says, you know, I didn't have children because I saw in the future that my children will turn out bad. Then Menashe will come out of me and he'll be a bad guy. So Elisha told him, anyways, that's not your business. Your business is to have what Hashem tells you. And it's not your business to figure out cheshbonos, why, what, how, and stuff. So then Tzidkiyahu says, so you know what? Maybe give me your daughter, Elisha, you're the prophet's daughter. Maybe my schus and her schus will help. So Elisha tells him, sorry, it's too late. It's too late. So Tzidkiyahu says, I'm sorry, go get out of here because you can't prophesize anymore. I have a Kabbalah for my father, for my father's house, that even though Cherev Chat al Tzavoroi, even though a sharp knife is on the neck, you should still pray to Hashem. It says that he turned to the key, he turned to the wall. Talmud brings that he made a Kal Vachomer from the wall, that even the tsunamis that build only a wall, a small wall for the prophet, Hashem gave all the miracles. So my forefathers who built the Beis Hamikdash, so my men built the Beis Hamikdash, but for sure you'll have to make miracles for me. And it says that the prophet came, said Hashem heard your prayer, and then you'll have another 15 years, said that Hashem heard your prayer, and you'll have another 15 years of life. They bring down the 15 years of Shem Yud Kei, that Pruvu Ish and Ish are the famous Sheva Brachas Dvar Torah, that Ish has the Yud and the Ish has the Hey. So the together is Yud Kei. So Yud Kei is the Shem, they say that is about being fruitful. So therefore they added to his life 15 years. The Kliyok actually brings this down at the beginning of Parshas Noach, where he's talking about number 15, how important the old Teva was divided by 15 because they corrupted the Shem Yud Kei. Anyways, so that's what he's telling you here, the last minute, you know, even though I'm praying all this time, V'eschan Hashem V'eschayah is still praying more and more and more. The question they ask is, Rashi writes down, V'eschayah, in that time, what time is that? So Rashi writes down, Lachar shekovashti eretz Sichon V'Oig. After I conquered the land of Sichon V'Oig, that's when we decided to, after I conquered the land of Sichon V'Oig, that's when I decided to make the prayer. So the question they ask is what specifically about Sicha and Boreg? We know that there's one interpretation that brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu hid the rock, and they explain the whole idea of hitting the rock. The Hashem told him to speak to the rock, and Rashi says that had he spoke to the rock, would have came out a great example. That even the rock that has no feelings, that doesn't have any obligations, listens to God. For you, who should know better, for sure you should listen to God. So they explain that is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to hit the rock. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if the Jews are going to sin, afterwards it will come out that it, because the rock gave water, the punishment for the Jews will be harsher. Because even a rock listens to God, how can you sin against God? So therefore he went ahead and hit the rock. So even though his maisa was wrong, but his machshava for the maisa, according to the Arizal, the machshava for the maisa was okay. So Sichon and Oig, we know the story, by Avaya Polit. The Polit came. The Gemara brings down who is the Polit. The Oig Melech HaBoshan, that's Oig that ran away from the Rephaim, from the he who survived the floods, survived the flood of Noah. So that's what Rashi writes down. So Rashi writes down, continues saying that his machshava, his intention was to marry, he came to tell that Lloyd was captured by the kings, and he wanted Avram to fight the kings, and he'll die, and he'll be able to marry Sarah. That's what's written down. So even though, so he saw that Og's intention was bad, but his action was good. Right? His intention was to Abraham should be killed and marry Sarah, but yet because he said they have a polit, then it was okay. So now where he comes after the killing of Og, so he sees that after the killing of Og. So we see that we don't go after the action, because even though the action is good, we go after the machshava, because Og had a good action. So now he's saying, if you go after the action, if you go after the machshava, then I decide to pray. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to pray only after Oig, because after Oig he realized that we don't go after the action, what the action is does, you go after the machshava, after the thought. So if you go after the thought, then Moses thought was good for eating the rock. So after the Schich and Boig, he decides to pray to Hashem. Veschanon, the numerical value of Veschanon is 515. Yeah? Everybody has done that 515 is the numerical value also of the word Tfilah. And also the word Shira is also 515. And Yesharat also is 515. So the Mefarshim bring down, the Medrash says that the Malachim says that Yecheskel says Ragleim regularly Yesharat, that the feet are straight, that the Malachim say 515 prayers every day. So Moses achieved the level here of the Malachim, that he was Chabay Sahi, after the end of his life he achieved the level of Malachim, and he was able to pray 515. If you had 26, the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is numerical value of 26, Yud Hei Vav Hei, Yud is 10, Hei is 5, Vav is 6, and Hei is 5. If you add that to Bo Eschanon, to Tefillah, ends up to numerical value of Israel. Israel is 541. So Israel, the equivalent of Israel, is Tefillah to God. Tefillah Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's, in other words, Tefillah to God, the numerical value of Tefillah to God, that's the name of Israel. So they say that's what brings down V'atam Advekim, which is the sixth parasha, those who are cleaving to Hashem, Chaim Kulchem Ayoyim, because that's the idea that the Jew has to cleave to God. So if you have Tefillah to Hashem, then you get the total of Israel. Another interesting thing they bring down is the Beis Chanon starts with the letter Vav, which is 6, And Boaz Chanon has got six letters in the word Boaz Chanon. Yeah? And the first Pasuk has got six words. So 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. Basically, the 6. So it says, Veschanon basically means it's alluded to praying Shumaneser. Veschanon is prayer, and six letters, and six words to the stuff. So they bring down that this allusion for you to pray Shumaneser for the Shumaneser. So they bring down that one of the reasons that Hashem didn't want to answer, didn't want them to go into Eretz Yisrael. They bring down that Hashem was afraid that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to swear he doesn't go out, and he'll be stuck. That was the reason. So they explain that Moshe Rabbeinu answered, it's brought down, by the way, by the Yalkut Mamloez, that Moshe Rabbeinu answered them, that don't worry. The story, the Gemara brings a story from Yeshua ben Levi. That Yeshua ben Levi, he was a teacher for the lepers. He always taught the lepers, Torah for lepers, in other words, the disease, leprosy. And he wasn't afraid for getting contagious because he believed the Torah will protect the person. So the Gemara says that it came time for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's passing. God tells the Malach HaMoves, you know what, go to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and tell him what he wants, do his bidding before he dies. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you know, I want to go into Gan Eden. Take a look at my portion of Gan Eden. I worked all this time. I want to see if it was worth it. So he goes, the Malach HaMoves takes him to Gan Eden, and there's a gate there. And he asks the Malach HaMoves, you know, I want to see where my place is. So he says, so jump over the gate. So he says, no, but I'm afraid if I'm going to turn around, you're going to give me this, you're going to kill me on my back. So Malach HaMoves gives him the sword. He jumps over, he says, I swear I'm not getting out. Yeah? So the Hashem says that they should check to see if he ever swore and annulled, then we'll annul too. But if he never swore and annulled, then we won't annul his vow either. In other words, even if a person makes a vow, if he annuls the vow, that means his word is not so strong. Even though halachically could annul the vow. Right? But if he always kept his word, then we will do it. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a vow, and he annulled his vow. He didn't keep his word. He says, "Vayoyel Moshe lo sheves ha'ish," said Pasha Shmoz, that Moses was willing to stay with Yitro, with Jethro. So the Talmud brings down, "Ein vayoyel elo lashon shvua," that vayoyel is a shvua, and he swore that the first son, according to Rashi, according to the Gemara, he swore that the first son will be for Avodah Zarah. That's what brings down. Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisroel that his first son is going to be Avodah Zarah. Everybody asks a question, what does it mean? So the bunch of interpretations, what does it mean he swore should be for Avodah Zarah? The simplest, the part that Siyasov brings their interpretation, that he swore that he's going to stay Chutz La'aretz, that Yisroel was afraid that, you know, these Jews, they have a very, very weird tradition. They marry people and they bring them out and they leave with the family. Yaakov Avinu went to Paddan Aram, married all these, made a whole family, and then left Laban without any grandchildren. He took everybody away. So Yisrael was afraid Moses was going to do the same thing. So he swore that his oldest son is going to be Chutz La'aretz. And the Talmud Gemara brings down that everybody who lives Chutz La'aretz is considered like he has no God. So therefore, it's considered like he did Avodah Zarah. Since there's no God, every time he prays for an intermediary, so it's considered like he's praying to Avodah Zarah. That's what the Parashah brings down, interpretation on that stuff. There's other interpretations, but interpretation is because Yisrael at that time says that, now I know that God is God, Mikol Elohim, from all gods. Rashi brings down that Yisrael tried all gods, and then he realized, like Avraham Avinu, by trial and error, he saw the sun, and the sun got dark, says it can't be the sun, must be the moon. So that's how he tried every god, and saw there's no mamashes, there's no really nothing important, no gods. So for Yisro, worship of one god is avoid the Zara. Avoid the Zara literally means avoid da, service, Zara, which is strange. So for him to serve one God after he's having all these gods is strange. So Moshe Rabbeinu says it's going to like he let his son from the Zara. He meant to have his son serve one God. Then they also explained that Israel wanted to come to God through trial and error, through where he came, not through the stuff. But anyways, when it came time to go to hotel, when it came time to leave to Egypt, he asked permission to take back. And that's why, by the way, they explained, there's a question. They say that Vaiba Derba Malon, it was on the way to hotel, and there was a snake enveloping it because it didn't do Bris Milah. So the Machloikas, who didn't have a Bris Milah? Normally we learn that the second son, Eliezer, didn't have a Bris Milah. He was born right when Moses was there, so he didn't have a Bris Milah because we were going to hotel. Moses was afraid to make a Bris Milah, and that's why he didn't have a Bris Milah. That's the normal way we learn. Also because there's no name written there, so obviously it must be before the name was given. Since we give the name by the Bris, so if he has no name, it's not written. That's an explanation normally. But the Medrash brings a different explanation. The Medrash says that the second child was actually Gershon. And the reason he didn't have a Brit Milah is because he had promised Israel. But now Israel absolved him from the promise. So if Israel absolved him from the promise, now he had to have a Brit Milah. So therefore, the child was the firstborn child, not the second one. Because he didn't give a Brit Milah because he had promised Israel he's going to be for the Zohar. That's what brings down the Mefarshim. So anyways, but regardless what it is, Moshe Rabbeinu annulled the vow. So that's what his argument is, that what's big deal? You could send me to Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry. What's the worst thing? I'm going to make a vow. Don't worry. I won't be able to keep the vow because I already made a vow annulled. So it was trying to convince God not to worry about it. Moshe says, Pasuk 25, Ebrono the Eres Oret. Let me pass and see the land. So from the word Ebrono, the Medrash brings down that Ebrono is Rosh HaTeves, Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah. Yeah. Ebrono, Aleph, Ayin, Beis, Reish, is Remes, Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah. So that's a question. What's going on? Why you have to have a remes here, Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah? What's going on? Why you need to have a remes, you know, a hint of Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah? How does he come in here? So they explain something very interesting. Gemara brings down that they deposed Rabbi Gamliel because Gamliel was disrespectful to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tarfon. I'm just going to give quick the story. Yeah, they had the machlokas. The Gemara brings down that actually Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was the instigator of the machlokas. The Gemara brings down in Brachas that the question was if Tfilas Arvis Mariv was Reshus or Choiva. So Rabbi Yeshua says it's Reshus, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai went to Rabbi Lezer, says it's Reshus or Chova. Rabbi Lezer says it's Chova. The difference is, nowadays it's no difference, but it was a difference if it's obligation, like Shachras and Mincha, or it's just Reshus. If you have time, you could do it. Yeah, if you don't have time for whatever reasons, you don't have to do it. And there's a reason why, actually, we paskin that this is Reshus, by the way. We paskin that philosophy is Reshus, but we accepted it, so therefore it becomes like a Choyva. We all accepted it, it becomes like a Choyva. The idea is that since we know that the Gemara brings down a couple of reasons why the prayers are. Yeah? In other words, Shachris, the Gemara brings down either because of Avraham, Masakon Shachris, or because Tomit Shel Shachar. And Mincha is because Tomit Shel Ben Abayim, or because Yitzchak prayed. And Arv is either because we put the limbs on top of the by night, we burned all the limbs that weren't burned by day. And also because Yaakov prayed for it. So they explain that since Tomit, both Tomits you have to bring, but the limbs, only if they have extra limbs you bring in. If you don't have limbs to burn, you don't burn anything. So therefore the Arvis is Reshus. Another interpretation is because since Yaakov only did the prayer Be'ez Tzara, in other words, he's running away from Esav, he says, he wasn't going to pray, Hashem forced him to pray because he's going to go to Galut, so it's a tefillah of the Galut. So Galut is not a choiva. You can't make a choiv out of galut. So that's what explained, that's what the difference between Mariv, because Mariv, he was running away from Esav, and all of a sudden he saw Jacob's ladder, the dream of Jacob's ladder, and Hashem says, a holy place, if you're going to save me, then I'll do. So therefore they say that it's not a choiv. Anyways, go back to the story. The Gemara says that Rav Gamliel asked Mil of Ashir, is it choiva or reshus? So he says it's choiva. Is there anybody who disagrees? So nobody raised their hand. Rav Gamliel was the Avbezin. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. So he went to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, stand up in your feet and say, is it reshus or choiva? So he says it's choiva. So it's a very interesting Gemara. Gemara says that, but I heard from your name that you said it's reshus. So Rabbi Yeshua says, if I would be alive and the person who told him you'll be dead, then I could deny it. But since I'm alive and he's alive, how can the living deny the living? Impossible. So he admitted. So Rabbi Gamliel had them stand the whole time. So the rabbis saw it's like an affront, and the rabbis said that last time he did something else to Rav Pedas, and this time to Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, you know what? He's disrespectful to the rabbis. So that they decide they're going to depose Rav Gamliel. So whom they decide is they want to give to Rabbi Yeshua, but he says, no, Rabbi Yeshua was the guy. The other party, it's not fair. They're going to say because of the COVID. Then they're going to give to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva couldn't accept because he's Ben Gerim. So they decide they're going to give to Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah. And that's when Rabbi Lezer Azariah went to ask his wife if I should do it. Rabbi Akiva came from converts. He's descendant of converts. Rabbi Akiva is Ben Gerim, so he doesn't have the schus of being from a Nasi. So they figured that maybe Rabbi Gamliel is going to get angry, and his chusava is going to do something to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva. So they decided to give to Rabbi Lezer Azariah, which has chusavas, which has everything, in no Torah. But he was a very young man at that time. That's Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, which was 17 years old at the time, or 18 years old. 18 years old, by the way. I'm sorry. So the Gemara tells a story that he came to ask his wife, and his wife says, why are you going to take the job? Tomorrow they're going to depose you. So he answers, it's better to have one day a person should use a crystal vase, and even afterwards it's broken, but at least he had the pleasure of using it one day. That was his answer. He gave the example actually from a crystal cup, that, you know, a person always has glasses, crystal glasses, and eventually it breaks. But you're happy while you use it. So the same thing, I should at least be off base in one time. So what happened is that in the morning he had 18 stripes of white came in his beard, and that's what the Gemara brings down, that he says, Rayanike Venshi Mishona of the Gada. We say, I'm like a 70-year-old man. That's the same guy, Rabbi Zeb Nazariah, which was done. Shows he asked his wife, but he doesn't follow his wife's advice. Nothing to take example, but at least you should ask your wife, ask her advice. It's on tape now, I'm in trouble. So the Gemara continues that afterwards, Rav Gamliel actually came to Beis Medrash and he apologized to Rav Yeshua. And they want to reinstate Rav Gamliel. They want to reinstate Gamliel. So what they do, they make 3 weeks Rav Gamliel. They decide to make 3 weeks or 2 weeks Rav Gamliel. They can't depose Rabbi Lezer completely because there's a theory, Mali Bakodesh Vemoridim, that you could only go up and not go down. Yeah? But then they decide that to be fair, 3 weeks Rav Gamliel is going to be the rabbi, or 2 weeks according to interpretation. And one week, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. So they say, so you see that it's possible, even though you make somebody a leader, it's possible to go down and make him not a leader. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to say. What, even though Yeshua, it's time Yeshua to come, so Yeshua is going to be Avbezin. So I'm going to be like Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. I'm going to be deposed. You push me lower, I want to go on. So that's why by Hebron now, cross me over, that's why it's alluded to Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. Right? But what happened? Gemara brings down that they showed Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, okay, Hashem said Moshe Rabbeinu the last day of his life. And he sat there He lost the Mayonas HaChachma. He lost the last days, even though he says that just for that moment, he lost a little bit of his Chachma. And he sat in Yeshiva with Yeshua. Yeshua was teaching, and he was there like a student. And all of a sudden, he started to get a little bit jealous. So he says, you know, better to have to be deaf than to be jealous one minute in the world. So therefore, he decided to go away. But here is the arguing Ebrona that he wants to pass. So he's saying that I want to pass, but like a Blazer Ben Azariah. That's why it's alluded to where the Blazer Ben Azariah.
So then, Rabbi Ben Azariah didn't stay as...
He was only Av Bezen symbolic. Rav Gamliel was Av Bezen. And 1 week he used to give the drasha for the people. He used to teach the people. In other words, they gave him the honor because for no reason of his own, we deposing him now. Rav Gamliel had a reason to be deposed. But Rabbi Ben Azariah was a substitute. But for no reason we are deposing him, even though he knew they're going to depose him eventually. Like we mentioned, that he decided, the wife told him. But nonetheless, it's okay. So that's what he's doing. He gave a shir once every 2 weeks or every other week, according to his interpretation.
And that continued for how long?
Until Rav Gamliel passed away. So that's what he always asks, Shabbos Sholmihi. Whose Shabbos it is? Our interpretation that brings down here, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you do Ebrona, it's an interesting Midrash. If you want Ebrona, then I will have to annul Slachna.
Ebrona,
if you want to pass, then I will have to annul what you pray to the Jewish people, Slachna, forgive me, La'amazeh. We said before that it says, Slachna, La'amazeh, Kigoy Da'chazdecho, after the Jews did the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, please forgive the Jewish people for the golden calf. So if he says, if you want to pass, then I'll have to annul Slachna. What I said, what you agreed. In other words, if you pass, then the Jews will have to suffer for the egel. So they ask, what's going on? What's the connection again? Why one is dependent on the other? The Medrash here brings an interesting Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu says that, you know, I'm in a higher level than everybody. And I want to for you to abolish death for me. Right? By the way, it says the Gemara makes down that when the Jews stood at Mamad Har Sinai, that says Varuchas Cheirus, they became Cheirus Memalach HaMavis. They became free from Malach HaMavis. Even though we translate the Luchas are completely engraved or completely chiseled out, but the Gemara brings down that Cheirus is that at the time Mamad Har Sinai, when the Jews were at such a high level, they said Naseh V'Nishma, they achieved the level, they atoned completely for the sins, and there was no death, wasn't coming to the world anymore. Cheirus became free from death. And then they did the golden calf, death was reinstated to the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I am still free, I achieved the level of Adam Harishon before the sin. So Hashem starts arguing, says, you know, Adam Harishon sinned. Adam Arishon, I gave death. So he says, you know why you gave death? Because he sinned. So he says, but Avraham Avinu, I gave death. So he says, you know why you gave death to Avraham Avinu? Because Avraham Avinu had Ishmael. But I gave death to Yitzchak. You know why you gave death to Yitzchak? He says, because Yitzchak had Esav. So he says, but I gave death to Yaakov. So he says, you know why you gave death to Yaakov? The marriage brings down because Yaakov did not receive the Torah. But I received the Torah. That was the argument Moshe Rabbeinu has, and Hashem doesn't give actually an answer on this argument. He says, nonetheless, you're gonna have to die. Actually, the Gemara brings down that he had six sins. Moshe Rabbeinu had six sins. That's not the Medrash brings down. But anyways, so he says, because Yaakov Avinu didn't get the Torah, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu's counter argument for Hashem, that's why he was decreed death. On Pasuk, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, Parshas Yisrael, we have there two different interpretations. There's two medrashim here. On Parshas Yisro, page 400, pasuk number two, the end of two. Yeah. It says, "Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ohar." And it says there, Vayichan Shom Yisrael on the singular. Right? So Rashi writes down here, Kish Echad Belev Echad. Right? Like one person, like one heart. That's what Rashi brings down. The Medrash, there's two Medrashim here. One, the other Medrash brings down that Yaakov Avinu, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, that Yaakov Avinu Saba, that Yaakov Avinu, our forefather, was there at the time of Mamad Har Sinai. Since we say Yaakov Avinu is the only one, we say Yaakov Avinu Lo Mes. Yaakov Avinu didn't die, so he came to be there at Mamad Har Sinai. So we know that one of the Rashi brings down also on Parshas Kisisa, no, I'm sorry, on here, on Parshas Yisroi, Rashi brings down why is it written everything in the singular. I mentioned last week why it's written everything in the singular. A question here, why is it Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Rashi brings down on Pasuk number 25, page 406, Pasuk number 2, Rashi brings down in the bottom, Velomo Omar Loshin Yochid Elokecha, why is it written everything in the singular? Litam Pitzchem Pele Moshe, to give an excuse to Moshe, the Lamet Seneguri Bemasa Egel, to tell an excuse on the Egel. Why are you angry in these Jewish people? Not for them. You didn't tell them, you told only to me. That's a certain everything you shouldn't have, because God is not telling to the Jewish people, God is telling to him. So it comes out, if he says that God is telling to him, that means when he says, when the Jews were resting, it's written the singular, so obviously it can't be the Jewish people. Because he's arguing now that the Jewish people are not singular. They are plural. Right? So then I have to interpret Vayichan Shom Yisrael that Yaakov Avinu was there, Neged Ohar. Because if this is true, so comes out Moshe Rabbeinu saying, and here we mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling that Yaakov Avinu died because he did not receive the Torah. So he's saying, if I take your argument of Ebrono, that you want to pass by, you don't want to die, that means Yaakov Avinu wasn't there, Bashas Matan Torah. Then I have to translate Vayichan Shom Yisrael in the singular. That means the Jewish people. If the Jewish people is a singular, then you lose your excuse for them doing the golden calf. So if you lose your excuse for doing the golden calf, then I have to abolish Slachna. You can't ask me to forgive the Jewish people for the Slachna, because they did the golden calf. So therefore, if you want a Hebron, I'll do Slachna. But if you want the Slachna, that means I could say here that it's talking about each one singular there, and I could say Yaakov Avinu received the Torah. That Vayichan Shom Yisrael, that means Yaakov Avinu. So that's the connection they bring down, that's why he's saying here, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, Neged Ohar, and it's written here, the Hebron, that if you do that, then it's not in there. The interesting Midrash, and Midrash also brings down here, that Iyuf was always complaining on the Yisurim, on his pains, the famous Iyuf. Iyuf, his Job, was always complaining about the pains that he got, but as soon as he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gzeira, that he shouldn't go into Eretz Israel, he was quiet. So that, again, was a connection between Iyuf and Moshe Rabbeinu pain. So that is pretty... That, according to what we mentioned this, even today, is pretty simple. We mentioned Moshe Rabbeinu when he hit the rock, he had good intentions, but his action was wrong. Regardless of the intention the person has, as long as the action is wrong, doesn't make a difference. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had good intentions because he didn't want the Jews to be punished for sinning. But nonetheless, his actions of hitting the rock was wrong. So they say that Eov also had good intentions. Eov knew that it was decreed that it was 400 years of Jews that are going to be enslaved. And he wanted, according to the Midrash, Eov wanted the enslavement to be hastened. So therefore, he says that the way we complete the 400 years is by us to get back-breaking pain, extra pain. So the Medrash brings down that there were three advisors at that time. Iyub, Yisro, and Bilam. At Pharaoh, those three advisors. Yisro advised against it, so he had to run away. And he merited to have children, Belishcha Sagazis. Bilam is the one that was for it, and he was killed. And Yisro, he was just passive. In other words, Yisro was basically Yisro's guilt because it was one against one. If Yisro would have more opened his mouth, it would have been two against one. But Yisro figured that he's okay. He didn't want to be the instigator, but he figured it's okay because like that the Jews will have more pain, and like that the 400 years will end up quicker. So therefore, he was quiet, and so he was complaining. Why do I have Yesurim? My intentions were good. So from as soon as he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though his intentions were good, was punished. So now he was able to say, oh, we are punished not for our intentions, for our actions. That's why you're punished. And that is also the reason why Aharon lost his two children, even though his intentions, according to, we see that his intentions were good, that he became Kohen Gadol, but nonetheless his actions weren't so good. So therefore, his two children had to die. Another interesting Medrash is six parshas. In six parshas, beginning of parshas, a bunch of interesting, weird, technically disassociated Medrash. The Medrash brings down that the time, Shomer Moshe Ebrono Veres Oretz, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to pass by and see the land, all of a sudden came a bas call and says, Lekom Beisrael, Ke Moshe. There was no such a big person as Moshe. So that's the question again, what's the association one to the other one? So the Gemara brings down that Eim Abrim Eretz Yisrael, that you can't Ma'abrim, you can't add a month, you can't change the months. In other words, add a month to Adar, do the Chesh Ben HaChodesh, the counting of the month, which month is going to have 29, which month is going to have 30 days, only in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara has a question. We know Rabbi Akiva did that Chutz La'aretz. So Gemara answers that the only time you could do Chutz La'aretz is when you have nobody like that in Eretz Yisrael. You have nobody like that in Eretz Yisrael, you could do Chutz La'aretz. So you loyniach komoyse be Eretz Yisrael. If you don't leave anybody like that in Eretz Yisrael, then you could do Chutz La'aretz. So the same thing happened here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ebrono, I want to be ma'aber. I want to be, they play the language, Ma'abra means to make extra month, means pass over the month. So he wants to be Ebron, I want to pass over the Jordan, so he says it because he wants to be Ma'abra Chadoshi. So all of a sudden the Basco says, you don't have to go over. They come, but so come Moshe, there's not such a person like Moshe. So if there's not such a person like Moshe, like the story of Rabbi Akiva, you could do Chutz La'aretz. When Israel doesn't have such a great person, you could do Chutz La'aretz. It says you don't have to go to Israel. Like Kam Beisrael, Kam Moshe, there's nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu. And now comes another very interesting Midrash, which this is a little bit of an interesting thing.
Who pulls all these together?
Who pulls? Not me. I just read. Some is Satmar Rabbi, some is the Sefer Chanukah Satoira, the Sefer here I have. He brings a lot of this.
They
see the Medrash. The Medrash there is, and we know that the oral law is just a hint. So by they want to see what's association. So they put all the things together, and they are able to make this beautiful Torah, which gives a nachas ruach to whoever reads it. Mm-hmm. That gives a smile on people's face, because you bring things that are disassociated. There is another Midrash, which is an interesting Midrash. It says, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ebrono. And Hashem says, I'm sorry. He brings down the Pasuk. Shabbos, Shabbos says, I'm sorry, the Pasuk is here. You should fast on the seventh day. He says that, Benistim is after Seichem, Betisha Lachoydash, in Pasuk number 686, page 686. Pashas Emoy says you should fast on the ninth of the month, Bo Erev, Me Erev, Ad Erev, Tish Bezu Shabbat Chem. From Erev till Erev, Tish Bezu Shabbat Chem. So But everybody has a question. Oh, what's the connection? Yom Kippur, that's Yom Kippur from the night, normal translation, from the night of the 14th of the 10th until after, from night to night, you should fast. Tish B'Su Shabbatchem, you should keep the Yom Kippur. And the Talmud actually writes down from here that that's we learn from Tosfos Shabbos, or Tosfos Yom Kippurim, that you have to add a little bit, every Shabbos and every Yom Kippur, we add a little bit from a Chol al HaKodesh. So we learn from here, because Sitni should fast the 9th. So the Talmud has a question, we fast the 9th, we fast the 10th. Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei. So Mikan Shem Oisifin Mechol HaKodesh, that you have to add a little bit from Chol al HaKodesh. So the Gemara asks a question, maybe only the beginning, but not at the end. So Talmud says, that says Me'erev. Ad Erev means from night until night. That means that you have to add a night too. So Talmud learns that the Ad is Ad Bechlal. Yeah? In other words, the Ad means that the Machlokes, when I say from here till here, if that is included or not. I say you should do it from Saturday to Sunday. Is Sunday included or not? Does it mean from Saturday only until Sunday? Or does it mean until Sunday, but Sunday is included? Yeah? I'm going on vacation from here till here. Is the day, the last day you mentioned, is included or not? So from here the Talmud learns, Ad Erev, that since the other night, the Talmud wants to include that some part of the other night is also included into the fasting. That's why you have to add in the beginning at the end. We know Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas. The Talmud, by the way, Yalkut Shemoyni here brings down that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to go into Eretz Yisrael is because Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas, and that caused Golus to come to the Jews. Yeah? Because it spread out, whatever it caused. They say because it caused the Torah should be forgotten, and Torah was forgotten, therefore Golus came to the Jews. So it's all Moshe Rabbeinu's fault that we are going to Golus. That's what the Yalkut Shemoyni brings down here. That Moshe Rabbeinu, because he broke the luchas, he caused us to forget the Torah. The Talmud brings down Shikha came in. Actually, Gemara brings down. It's not like Shmoni. Gemara brings down that because of that, he caused the galut to come, the Torah to go into galut. And that's basically the punishment that he has to stay outside. That's why it's fitting the punishment that he can't come into Israel because he caused us to go galut, so he has to stay in the galut. Moshe Rabbeinu has another argument, because Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas, so we should be nidon kepnuya. The Gemara brings down. There's a flip coin. He says the shlokish brings down the psalacho as a luchas asher shibarto, the luchas that you broke, yesher koyach asher shibarto. Thank you, asher shibarto. That thank you very much for breaking it. Because they bring the example that since the tablets were the marital contract, were the evidence of our relationship, so by Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the luchas, he making us to be done like pnuya, like a woman that is not married yet. In other words, we committed immorality, but we are not tied in a strict relationship to God. The Talmud brings down that the reason that we did the golden calf, because I mentioned when we had the class on the golden calf, that Hashem had to make specific miracles for us to be able to be enticed to do the golden calf. The Gemara of the Zohar brings down that Hashem only made the golden calf for us to be able to learn to do tshuva. Yeah? Because if all the golden, in other words, Hashem had to have the Satan be able to bring the coffin of Moses, had to have the calf itself come back to life, in a life form. So the Gemara brings down that the whole reason of the golden calf is for us to be able to do tshuva. Yeah. And some bring down that the reason for the calf is for atonement. For how do you learn tshuva? Maybe how do you learn tshuva? Maybe you could learn tshuva from Adam Orishin. Adam Orishin also did tshuva. By the way, the Gemara says that Adam Orishin, he transgressed Avoy the Zohar, Gila Royes, and Shvichas Domen. Yeah? The Zohar brings down the three capital sins. The Zohar brings down that during the during the years, during the years that Adam Rishon was after the chet that he saw, they ate the fruit, that was considered avodah zara, because he transgressed against one God, and that he has relationship with ruchas, with souls. He had relationship with souls. He created a lot of souls in this world, so that's considered gilui aroyos. He had lilith. Someone brings down, he had a shed called Lilith. The Zohar brings down that the relationship with this Lilith during these years. And that's also brings down that the reason of the Golas, that the many years that Adam Rishon had a relationship with this Lilith, because it says afterwards Vayeda, because he didn't want to have a relationship with Eve, because Eve was the cause of his trouble. So he separated himself from Eve after he did the Chet. According to the Zohar, he had all these relationships. So the illicit relationship that he had is Gilui Aroyos, and Shpichas Domim is because he did onanism, he did Zera Levatola. Yeah, he did, since he didn't have procreation, so that's considered Shpichas Domim. So it brings down that Avraham was Mesakon the Avodah Zara, because he was the one that came back to monotheism, right? Yitzchak was Mesakon Shvichas Domim, because he was sacrificed himself on the altar. And Yaakov was Mesakon Gilui Aroyos, because it says that Reuven, all the years that Yaakov was 84 and didn't have any, he never had any emissions come out of him. So it was Mesakon Gilui Aroyos. The only question is, how do I know if somebody does all three together? How do I know that if somebody does all three together, that it atones? Maybe if somebody does all three together, it doesn't atone. In other words, the Marishan did all three together. We know each one separately atones. That each one separately, Avram was Mesakon one, Yitzchak was Mesakon the other one, and Yaakov was Mesakon the other one. But maybe somebody who does all three together, it doesn't atone. So there's a pasuk who says, Toshev Enosh Ad Dako. Toshev Enosh Ad Dako, which means that we say by Tehillim 90, says, Toshev Enosh Ad Dako, Vatomer Shuvu Bnei Adam. Says that you lower man until pulp, and says, then you should do tshuva. So they bring down that the word Dako is the initials of all three capital sins. I forgot the stuff, so Dako, I'm sorry, you have to wait a second. The Shlop brings down Dako is all three sins. I wrote down somewhere, but I don't even know where I wrote down. That's an interesting thing. It's not too good, huh? Dako, it was don't remember. So Shlop brings down that Dako is all three capital sins. And Dam. Dako is Dam, which is the Shvichas Domim. The Kof is Kfira, which is denying there's a God. And Aleph is Ishon, which is Gilui Aroyos. Yeah? Toshon and Dako. So the Gemara brings down that he says, Ad Dako, Toshev Enosh Ad Dako. A person will be able to do it until Dako. So until there, we know that a person could do tshuva until there, but not included there. So Hashem has to show, like in other words, Hashem has to show tshuva. We could learn tshuva from Toshev Enosh Ad Dako. So Moshe Rabbeinu says that no, you can't learn tshuva, because that's why he decided to, that there was a Jewish fault. That's why he broke the tablets. Yeah? But Hashem answered them that Me'erev Ad Erev Tish Besu Shabbatchem. That we know when it says Ad is inclusive. It's not exclusive. Ad until it's inclusive. So the pasuk says Toshev Enosh Ad Dako. That including Dako. So Moshe wants to pass by because he says, that's not my fault, I broke the lochas. Has got nothing to do with me for breaking the locusts. I just did for the good. They wanted to teach them that they could do tshuva, that they will do stuff, they'll break the locusts, they could do tshuva. He says, no, you don't need to do that. Because the pasuk brings down Ad Dako. And it says already Me'erev Ad Erev, that's inclusive already. So it's if inclusive, you broke the locusts for nothing. So if you broke the locusts, you caused Golos to come to the world. you cause gossip from the world, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael anymore.
You just can't
win. Yeah, can we? It says, I mentioned this before, that which is a famous one, because you said Rav Lecha, I think if you remember, we said Rav Lecha, therefore it says Rav Lecha, to Yisrael Daber Alayv, because you said to the Jewish people, Rav Lecha, enough for you, therefore I say to you, Rav Loch, you have enough, Altoisav Daber Lai, do not talk to me anymore. So they bring down, I mentioned it before, that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Rabbeinu was procrastinated, Hashem got angry, it could be two different things could be decreed for Moshe Rabbeinu. Either he shouldn't become a Kohen, that's what it says. Moshe procrastinated during the mission to go to Egypt, so Hashem tells him, Aharon is coming after you. Yeah? So the Talmud brings down this, that because he procrastinated, therefore he lost the position of Kohen. It was given to Aharon. That was a punishment for his procrastination. But came time of Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu Korach wanted to become Kohen Gadol. All these people, the 250 people, they want to become the Korach wants to become Kohen Gadol. So Moshe says, Rav Loch. Rav Lochem Levi, you have too much already. Rav Lochem, you have too much. That means that to be a Kohen is no big deal. You have enough job. Your job has become a Levi, is no big deal. So comes out by him mentioning that, retroactively, he wasn't punished anything by not becoming a Kohen. Because saying to be a Kohen is no big deal. So now Hashem is telling you, you said Rav Loch. Therefore, you yourself decreed Rav Loch as to a double lie. Your punishment now has to be for your procrastination that you won't come into Eretz Israel. You had a choice, either becoming a Kohen or not going to Eretz Israel. All of a sudden you said to going into Eretz Israel is no big deal. You told the Levites that. So therefore now, Rav Lach, Altoisev Daber Elai, don't speak to me too much. So that's the connection they bring down from the Rav Lach. The Marsha brings down the Vanesha Bagoy moved by Ispeor. It says that by the end of the, it says, I prayed to Hashem, and we stood in Goy next to Beis Peor. So Marsha has a question. What's going on here? Why is this coming in here? We're not even mentioning where we are. We stood there next to Baal Peor. What are you trying to tell me? So he brings down here, Pasuk number 26 says, Vesab Hashem bi lemanchem, Hashem became angry at me because of you, v'leshom elai, and didn't listen to me. So Masha is bothered by, why is he blaming the Jewish people here? Why is he blaming them? So Masha says, you understand, Hashem, Hashem, Vaisab Hashem be, Hashem, Lemacha means for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It's not because of you. It's for your benefit. Like I mentioned, I think last class, that about the pitcher, the queen of the pitcher, right? Throwing the pitcher. So it's for the Jewish people. The Gemara brings down in Soita that every year Baal Peor goes up in heaven and brings a kitruk what the Jewish people did. It's amazing because we don't say there's a kitruk from everything else every year, the same place, same time. We just say Baal Peor, because Baal Peor had to do with immorality. Somewhat immorality, if somebody does immoralities or does assimilation, that could be that's the greatest kitruk against the Jewish people, that they are susceptible for assimilation. So he says he goes up to heaven and he sees the cave of Moshe, he goes back down. So comes out the whole reason that Moshe Rabbeinu's bones stood outside is for the benefit of the Jewish people, so for this. So he said, that's what he says. Sabra Hashem be, Hashem became angry, lemanchem, for your benefit, not because of you. Lemanchem means for your benefit. And that's why it depends. Vayeshev Bagoin, Mul Beis Peor. That's why he stood next to Goin, next to Baal Peor, because the whole idea for it is because of Baal Peor. Hashem's work should help us that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have to stay anymore next to Baal Peor. We should be able to come in close to Yisrael quickly. And should have Moshe Sukenu and Chesam Esim, Merib Yomeinu.